Blog Talk Radio.
Guide to Keeping Chickens, and National Spokesperson for the USDA Biosecurity for Birds Program. Today is Tuesday, May 14th, and I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Each week, we welcome experts in their field to share their knowledge about different topics, including backyard poultry, show poultry, heritage poultry, gardening, cooking, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Be sure to visit our website, chickenwhisperer.com, where you can follow us on Twitter and become a fan on Facebook. Once again, I would like to thank all of you for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by Tractor Supply.
Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing.
And you can find all the great Ware products here.
Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waters, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at gqfradio.com. That's GQFradio.com.
Introducing the Chicken Fountain, a new way to water your flock. The Chicken Fountain will change your life and keep your chickens healthier by providing clean, fresh water every time. No more daily cleaning of dirty chicken waterers. This semi-sealed system keeps every drop of water fresh and clean. Proudly made in the USA, the Chicken Fountain will provide your flock with fresh, clean water for years to come. To order your Chicken Fountain, visit chickenfountain.com. That's chickenfountain.com.
It's easy and rewarding to keep backyard chickens, and My Pet Chicken can supply everything you need to get started, including baby chicks, chicken coops, accessories, books, and free how-to information, plus fun gifts and rooster decor. At My Pet Chicken, you can buy as few as 3 baby chicks. They also sell fertile hatching eggs. Visit them online at mypetchicken.com. That's mypetchicken.com.
Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer, here to tell you that if you have backyard poultry, nothing is more important than making sure your feathered friends are safe from infectious poultry diseases. Learn the simple steps to keep your birds healthy by visiting this website, healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov. That's healthybirds.aphis.usda.gov.
A message from the USDA.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. I do appreciate it. And we've got, again, a super great lineup all this week. Yesterday, Ask the Chicken Doctor with Peter Brown. Great topic, all about probiotics and the digestive system and keeping it healthy from before they hatch. So it was absolutely an awesome show. If you missed it, you can listen to the archive, of course. Today, we hope to have someone from the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy on. I had contacted Jeanette Berenger last Tuesday, thinking that was the second Tuesday, being the way the days were falling and how weird May started out. But actually, today is the second Tuesday, which is the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy Day. And she had a cold last week, and then she responded to my email and said she was going to be in Chicago, actually. She was going to be in Chicago today, actually hooking up with the Irish Draft Horse Society. So that's pretty cool. Jeanette's got a great job. She travels all over the world and working with folks with rare breeds, heritage breeds, things like that. So what a great job, and all the education she gets by talking with the experts. It's kind of what we do here, is we try to bring on the experts in their field to teach us all about, well, you name it, right here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. So she actually said that Allison Orion would probably be on the show today and that she would nail that down and regarding what topic, but I haven't heard back from them. So I know they stay very, very, very busy. They do absolutely great works. And if you're not a member of the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy, you really need to be. I've been a member now for several years. It's hard for me to ask you to be a member if I'm not a member. A hypocrite is one thing that I am not. But they really do great works, and it's a great resource for really anybody out there, from the soccer mom in suburbia that's got a few backyard chickens to the homesteader that concentrates on heritage breeds, or maybe the breeder. So it's just a great, great organization that I would encourage you to join. It's not very much, and the return you get from your membership is amazing. So plus the resource to have there if you ever need it is a wonderful asset. So no worries. So, but yeah, I was talking to somebody earlier. In fact, I'll tell you who it was. It was the she's called the Quail Lady, and she's just released a book. I believe it's self-published, but it's a good, thick book, good quality. Alexandra Douglas, and she's got a book all about quail. Everything you need to know about the Japanese quail, and I received it, I think it was yesterday, I received it in the mail, and she asked me this morning via instant message what I thought about it, and I was like, well, to be very honest, it's sitting here on the coffee table. I read the front cover, the back cover, the acknowledgments page, and then, of course, I flipped through and maybe read about five sentences here or there, and I told her right off the bat, that I was impressed. It's a good quality made book. Again, I believe it's self-published, and I was amazed at the number of pictures and diagrams to help explain the knowledge that's in this book, which is always a plus. When we did our book and the publisher, one thing I stressed is that when I looked at a lot of different backyard chicken books, it was just all writing. There was not a lot of pictures. If there were pictures, it was a drawing here or there, or maybe just a black and white picture on plain white paper. And I was like, you know, there's a couple books out there that are very colorful and have beautiful diagrams and beautiful color photographs, but not many regarding backyard poultry. So that was one thing that I wanted to do, and that's one of the accomplishments that we got. And from the book, that just the way it was set up, how easy it is to actually read, and everything else. So, but anyway, so I'm really looking forward. I'll have some downtime. You always plan on that, but it never really happens. But I hope to have some downtime this weekend and next weekend a little bit, at least during nap time with the kids. And I look forward to reading it. But I guess my point was, I was talking to her this morning, and I said, you know, to be honest, I've read this, that, and the other about it, but I will have some downtime this week where I hope to dive into it and read about it so I can make an honest and truthful review and brag about it, hopefully, on my professional Facebook page. I said, there's a few people out there that hate me for their own personal reasons, I guess. Maybe they feel inadequate or something like that. I'm not sure. But there's a few people out there that dislike the Chicken Whisperer, and a lot of that may be jealousy or the fact of my blessed success thanks to hard work and the good Lord. But, 800 and something episodes, published book, national spokesperson, national tour. As soon as I started getting a lot of likes and popularity and things like that, and the book was released, I all of a sudden got a bullseye on my back. And it wouldn't be politics, poet's wife. Whenever I post something, I get 90% positives versus the 10% negatives, even if it has to do a little bit of a political slant. So that's good. I guess, you know, I always, you know, regardless if they're like-minded in that aspect, fans are fans, and I love them all. But, when I post about that, about 90% agree with what I have to say. Interesting. But, or post, or opinionated. So the, but anyway, I was like, one thing that nobody can call me is a hypocrite or a liar. Y'all know that I have turned down sponsors due to poor product, or maybe a product that needed to be improved somewhat before I would take them on as a sponsor or a Chicken Whisperer approved item. And so I told her, I said, you know, obviously I can't just go and tell them it's a great book if I haven't read, but, you know, 4 pages of it. So I will be reading it through the next couple of weekends, maybe not cover to cover because it's like 410 pages long. It's pretty lengthy, but I'll read enough of it to where I can get a good review, post a picture of it on my Facebook page, and and just let people kind of know if it's a really good book. So got to love that, and I'll be doing that. But nope, that's something that nobody can call me as a liar or a hypocrite, because I do practice what I preach as much as possible. I even share, many of our longtime listeners know that I had to break down and I drunk a Sprite today. I always yap about high fructose corn syrup and how bad it is for everybody, but I had to have a Sprite today as I was sitting in the hotel room before I went to bed or you know, things like that. Well, I just had a rare craving for a blueberry Pop-Tart, so you know how I rap about organic and eating healthy, but for some reason I had a childhood memory of blueberry Pop-Tarts and had to go get them. So, you gotta love it. But anyhow, I will be doing that. Hopefully I'll be able to read this over the next couple of weeks, and we will get that done. And so got to Got to love that. But anyway, so let me just go check over here to the phone lines. And again, we may be cutting the show very short today. I'm not prepared to fill an hour with any specific information. And, you know, Jeanette may have just gotten so busy with her trip to Chicago that she didn't line up somebody for today's show. But I'm going to give it a few more minutes, and then we'll see basically if anybody calls in from the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy. No big deal. Let's see, Sparrow. I don't know who that is. I don't know. No, she left, so no worries. Not sure what that about. Every now and then we'll get a spammer in the chat room. It hadn't happened too recently, but every now and then we will. So it's not a big deal. So we'll see what East Dallas Day. Folks don't need a reason to criticize you on the internet. They just do it. Yep, you got that right. They won't do it to your face, but they'll do it on the internet. And then I like this. Bob Peterson says, "Hey, it's the simple things. Andy, let it rock." Yep, let it rock and roll. I completely agree. And many a times I sit back and think about the wonderful life here on the homestead with a wonderful family and, you know, paying my bills with what I love to do, and it doesn't get any better than that. So don't sweat the small stuff. In fact, this weekend and next weekend, spending some good quality family time in the Chicken Whisperer Mobile. This weekend, strictly nothing but family time and a little long weekend getaway. Next weekend, Caleb's birthday up in the Atlanta area with the camper, of course. We'll have been several days up there, so we're looking forward to that. So no worries. Hey, I heard back from Tractor Supply, and I am definitely looking forward to getting this next second quarter Power to the Poultry Tour scheduled. Really, the only one that travels really across the country and spreads the chicken love as much as anybody, and I'm really looking forward to do that again. Second quarter Tractor Supply Tour, and we're looking forward to doing this in the Carolinas. And so let me go back here and see. I got basically some information from Tractor Supply. We're trying to narrow down the stores that we'll visit. This tour will be, of course, last tour was Southern Alabama and Northern Florida, and boy, we had a great time and met a lot of great people and had great turnout at our events. And this coming up, we're looking at possibly, it's either going to be the last week in June, since a lot of things just need to be changed as far as printing and flyers and things like that. It shouldn't take as long to get prepared for this tour as it did the last tour for Tractor Supply. They'll just have to change some dates and times and things, so not a big deal. Pardon me. But we're looking forward to it, looking at heading up towards North and South Carolina. I got a graph this morning sent over from Tractor Supply that I had requested. I was curious to see the top stores in North and South Carolina regarding and their ranking regarding chicken supplies and sales, and then, of course, the ranking from live bird sales. And what stores sold the most live birds this Chick Days event. And, of course, what store, just in general throughout the year, sells the most in chicken supplies. So I've got a great day. My work cut out for me because there must be, God, I don't know, 10, 20, 30, 40, maybe 56, 70, maybe 75 stores to kind of choose from here that I got a list of. So I'm definitely looking to planning that. And as soon as I get that locations and the tours, then we'll post that, and we'll get the whole nine yards done. And, of course, it'll be book signing. It'll be getting started with Backyard Poultry Workshop, Q&A segment. We'll probably do, again, 5 stores in 5 days like we did last time, unless there may be a store or a couple of stores we really want to hit that are further away than maybe 2 hours from each other, because that seems anywhere from about an hour to 2 hours apart. We're not stealing customers from one store to the other, and then they're far enough apart not to have to worry about that. And then it makes for a good tour because we can wrap up an event around 8 or 8:30 in the evening, make the two-hour drive, still get some good rest, and then have the next day to get all prepared for the event the following evening. And, of course, the same thing goes with Saturday events and Sunday events. So we're definitely looking forward to that tour. So I'll keep you posted on that as we start picking out what stores we're going to be at in North and South Carolina. So I'm definitely will get all that information to you. Still nothing over here from the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy, and I'm probably going to give them another 10 minutes till about 12:30, and then hey, if that happens, then hey, we'll just add that to the record books as a no-show. But not worried about it, not angry with them, because I know they do great works, and Jeanette, as busy as she is dealing with her tour all over the world, studying the rare breeds and the heritage breeds, it just probably slipped her mind that it was on her plate to to get somebody to come on in her place today on the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show. So no worries there. Heading over to the chat room. Want to say hello to everybody in there. Misty Harris, thanks for joining us. Of course, Bob's in there. And love to see Bob in the chat room. And then, of course, Poet's wife was giving me a little bit of a hard time. And but that's okay, because I return the favor. I give her a hard time as well. And we have that mutual love-hate relationship, I think, Poet's wife and I do. But oh, me. I could go to very, very western North Carolina, a.k.a. Tennessee. Plenty of TSC stores there in corporate headquarters. Yeah, you're right. And, you know, it's, you know, hey, I've been, hey, Poet, and I've been to Tennessee probably more than any other state and done more events there than any other state. So, because I love it. And we love Nashville because there's so many great things to do, including the Grand Ole Opry. So, hey, you never know. Misty Harris is saying, I got to get out to Texas. In fact, Misty, let me let you know this, okay? I've got another tour that I've got a plan for Tractor Supply that'll probably take place in September, okay? And then there's another one I got to follow up in probably November or 1st of December to wrap up the year. So here's what I'm doing. I'm really looking at trying to get... I really don't want to go to Texas in July. No offense. It's hard enough to be in Georgia in July. But I really don't want to be up in Michigan, Ohio in November either. That wouldn't probably be a good tour. So as I look at the schedule, I do. It's on the bucket list, if you will, for my tour to try to get up to Kentucky, Ohio, maybe the south part of Michigan, maybe over to St. Louis and then back down. I'd like to get that done. I've got a lot of fans up in that area. There's a lot of great stores up in that area, and I've got good sponsors up in that area. So I would like to hit Kentucky and Ohio and maybe Michigan, maybe St. Louis. But obviously I want to hit that in November. So that may be a September trip for our third quarter tour, and then maybe coming out to Texas in November or December, where it's not so smoking hot out there in out in Texas. So we may have to come out that way. I'm not sure if I come out to Texas, if I'll head down 10 or head down I-20. It just depends on the stops that I'll take kind of along the way. So yeah, I remember Harris Farms was there at that one event, and I'll just call it like it was, Poet. You aggravated that sales rep from the time you walked into the door to the time you walked out, and I think he just gave you everything he did to get you to walk out that door. But you have a way with that, don't you? And I'm not saying that's a good or bad thing, but I remember that. You were you were there and standing at his table, and New England. Yeah, I know it, Bard Rock. I need to get up that way. I could stop by and see My Pet Chicken, and I could come up 95 up through North Carolina and head up that way. That's a long drive, especially towing a big rig, Chicken Whisperer Mobile. But now I do have to get to New England. But lobsters. Get up to me and head up to Boston, have some clam chowder, and but I'll just have to remember that if I ever lose my khakis, not that, you know, the khakis up there, remember this, or pants you wear to church, khakis, not something to start your car. But I'm looking forward to it. We'll try to get up there to the to the New England area. Maybe that's something we can do. Of course, I'm not coming up there in the wintertime, that's for sure. I got four-wheel drive, but it doesn't do too much when you're towing 24-foot RV. So who knows? Maybe we'll get up in that area, but probably not this year. Well, we're probably looking at going out towards Texas maybe in September, out up to, you know, the Ohio area in September, and then coming back down through the Texas in November, where it's a little bit cooler, and they clear the streets in the North CW. Yeah, you know all about that, Tennessee. Yeah, come visit some dang Yankees. I know, you gotta love it. Both of my sisters married Yankees, and so I've had to deal with that pretty much all my life. But that's okay. That's okay. I love everybody. And y'all know that. I'll give anybody – this is an equal opportunity offender radio show. long-time listeners know that. Yeah, I may lose that battle as far as coming up to the New England area. Equal opportunity offender radio show is what we've called this. And, hey, you remember I've said this for years. I've coined this phrase, and I used it, and I can go back and tell you I used it back the first year this radio started over 5 years ago. But this radio show, and we've researched this, this radio show is the only fair and balanced radio show on the planet. Why? Because chickens have both a left wing and a right wing. Okay, so we coined that phrase about 5 years ago, and it lends to be true because we sometimes pick on everybody. Poet's wife said she was born in Manhattan. That explains a lot. Oh, but you gotta love it. Hey, you know, if you're born in the South, if you're born in the North, there's always going to be that little animosity there between the North and the South. But that's okay. I think it's a good, healthy love hate relationship, and I probably always will be. But you know, hey, there's not a lot of us natives here much more. And so, hey, Misty said she was born and raised in Texas. All right, very good. Texas is its own little country, I think, is it not? Don't people say that it's its own little country? Don't mess with Texas. There's some things that go on in Texas that probably wouldn't fly anywhere else. In fact, if I was going to live somewhere other than Georgia, it may have to be Texas, just based on a lot of their beliefs there in that state. You just never you just never know. Oh my goodness. So gotta love it. So yeah, we're sitting here killing some time. Got about two more minutes, and then I'm just going to basically say, hasta la vista, have a good day, goodbye, see you tomorrow, because it just obviously, I don't see anybody that's actually called in. I'm going to check one more thing here. Oops. Hang on just a second. Yeah, no problem. I just wanted to make sure that they didn't have anybody on hold in the chat room waiting to come on, and no one from the ALBC is sitting there going, okay, bring me on, I'm ready to talk about this, that, or the other. But nothing so far. But that's okay. That's not a worry. Still great, great shows this week. So yesterday, I've been living in the South since before Andy was living. So that makes sense. That makes sense, but you can't say you were born here. There's some credence to that, I guess. but that's okay. That's okay. You may have been born in Manhattan. Your heart may be in Dixie, and that's just fine. No worries at all. Hey, oh God, there was something I was going to talk about. I knew there was something I was going to talk about. Give me just a second, and I'll see if I can't look it up. And we haven't talked about this in a little while, but I'd love to get your opinion there in the chat room. And it really doesn't have to do anything with political, but I read coming up here in the next 10, I think it's May 20th, pardon me, that there was a farmer that up in Wisconsin that was going on trial, and I believe it ended up being that he had his own fresh food membership club, if you will. And he was actually, I think the big deal was that he was providing raw milk to his subscribers. So not just corn or squash or veggies or turnips or potatoes. I don't think that was the issue. I think the big issue was that they were talking about providing them raw milk. And so Bob said he did see that somewhere, and I believe it was on the I think I saw it on Facebook, and you can probably Google it and find it out or what have you. But I think there's got a court case coming up in Wisconsin. I believe, if memory serves, I think it's the 20th of May, and he's going on trial. And here's a farmer. I know he's got kids. It said family or father to two or three kids, married. And could face something like, I don't know, a couple of years in jail and a $10,000 fine or something. And I believe it they're concentrating on the issue of selling raw milk. So, how dare we not eat the processed food that we've all been laid out for us. It's exactly, Bob. I just don't understand it. You know, it's it's one of those things. It's like... And again, don't want to get too political here, because it's regardless of who's in the White House, this has been going on, and it's been going on regardless of who's been in the White House. So that's really irrelevant. And it's just amazing. It's you try to justify it by saying things like, well, using the numbers, using the facts that are out there. How many people have succumbed to drinking raw milk in the last 10 years? And then how many have succumbed to mistakes that have been made in the hospitals in the last 10 years? How many people have been killed due to drugs that were approved by the FDA versus eating drinking raw milk? You try to justify it like that, and it just doesn't make any sense. You know, it's like, you know, you and I as a human, as head of households, it's like, you know, we have to make decisions. We have to pick our battles. So it's don't say anything about that, Misty, as a poet's wife says. So you have to pick your battles. I mean, what? But it doesn't seem like the battles were justification. When you've got, you know, armed military style teams raiding Amish farms because they're selling raw milk. Okay. Obviously y'all remember back in the day hang on just a minute. So anyway. Jen brought me a boiled egg, and she had it cut in half, and she says, is this cooked enough? Yeah, baby, that's cooked enough. So I think she's making egg salad for lunch. So. But, okay, where was I? Lost track of thought when I was having to be an egg inspector here at the house. But it was, you know, it just kind of makes you go, So, you know, keep look that information up. Give him some moral support if you can't go and support him at the courthouse, and give him support. But it's yes, I will tell her that, poet's wife. It's cooked enough if it doesn't chirp. I guess that makes sense. Gotta love it. But I know what I was saying. You just you gotta pick your battles, and I just it's some of the things are just amazing with some of the things you see in the news out there, and I'm not going to get into all the things that really aren't related to farming or agriculture or things like that. But I think Bob talked about it in the chat room perfectly. It's like, go ahead and eat all the MSG and the processed foods and all the chemicals that goes into that. And that's aspartame and saccharin and all this GMO crop, and all that's fine. But when it comes down to trying to do what you believe is healthy, then all of a sudden everybody has problems with that. East Dallas Dave says, Monsanto won another case in the Supreme Court to protect their patented seed, even though it was disposed of into a feed bin for cattle. We've had Monsanto on the radio show back early in the day. We welcomed them on the show, and on one day we had Monsanto on. The next day we had a pretty much an anti-Monsanto representative on the show, and it was interesting. What was the outcome for the trouble in Virginia Beach? I wrote to the councilman and got messages about delays. You know, believe it or not, Tracy Okroy, who's working with that, I'm guessing you're talking about the chicken deal there, she's actually got some support from a nonprofit and an attorney that works for a nonprofit, and they have taken her course to the Virginia Supreme Court. So it's going to be really interesting to see, and she is really fighting it hard. Good for her that she's standing up. She refuses to get rid of her chickens, and she feels like she's got all the rights in the world, constitutionally, property rights, whatever the case may be, to have her chickens for whatever reason, feeding her family, healthy food source, pets, doesn't matter. But so she's been tossed around and chewed up and spit out there regarding what she can do locally there at Virginia Beach regarding the city council. And she's appealed every way that she can appeal there. But now she's got this group, a nonprofit group, that's taken her case with a team of attorneys, and they're taking it all the way up to the Virginia Supreme Court. So Tracy Okroy, I have to contact her and see where it stands right now. A lot of times that takes some time to do when you're getting lawyers involved and there's delays and things like that. But I know she still has her chickens in her backyard. That's the important thing. And hopefully they'll be able to really get that done, and it'll over. Would that not be an awesome case that we can refer to all over the country regarding the Virginia Supreme Court? That'll be awesome if we can actually do that and get that as a win for her, because we can always refer to that of why it was a win, why the Supreme Court overruled the local municipality. We tried that here, here in Georgia. If y'all remember, I talked about it a lot. Spoke there under the Gold Dome and attended a lot of committee meetings that they were trying to pass a law here in Georgia. It would be a state law that no municipality, local, county, city could pass a law that would ban the keeping. It ended up being rabbits, chickens, and gardens. It didn't include goats. We tried to get goats included for goat meat, goat milk, what have you. But there were, it just, again, pick your battles. Okay? They removed that because there was a couple of people that were just totally adamant against having the goats. The male goats stink. We know that. The female goats, not so much. But they just still did not want to have that in there. So it included chickens, rabbits, and gardens. And no one could prevent that. And the lobbying that took place regarding getting this law passed, like I guess any law at the state or even federal level, was shameful. Lobbying from deep pockets, lobbying from homeowners associations at the state level that have nothing but money and time to schmooze the folks in power. They're going to be voting on it. And, of course, every time it got to being close, it was shut down or it was just ignored and never got to the floor. So it was very interesting how that works. So we've tried here in the state of Georgia to get a law passed at the state level, and they make you think it gets, oh, it's getting pretty far. Yeah, we got this, so committee approved it. It got through the Ag Committee. Now it's got to go to the floor, and it's got to be approved to actually be voted on, and it just fizzles out at the same place every year that we've tried this, and it always got thrown out, and so it is a shame, but it's kind of like, you know, pick your battles. It's kind of like when I post, you know, every drug approved safe by the FDA, what would I say, that every drug recalled due to massive death by the FDA was once approved, safe by the FDA. Yeah, that's what it is. Every drug recalled due to massive death and injury by the FDA was once approved safe and wonderful by the FDA. Interesting, okay? But you try to go and buy or sell raw milk, then you'll have the swift arm of the government swinging down on you, and because you're selling a few gallons of milk to some local people who make that decision to choose to do that, okay? So I think there are even now some states that marijuana is now legal. I don't want to get into that debate, but so marijuana is now legal in some states, but raw milk still is not. Oh, I know what I was going to say. Now, y'all remember, it was before my time, but I remember my daddy talking about it, and it's come up in conversations occasionally before, talking about moonshine. And apparently there was a big moonshine provider that ended up, due to the techniques he used to make moonshine, and I would guess Poet's wife might know something about this. For why, I don't know. Maybe even know the gentleman's name. It's quite famous, quite a famous case where a lot of people died. I guess it was due to, I want to say, was it lead poisoning or some type of poisoning due to the process of making his moonshine. I don't know if it was a batch or two or several batches that went bad, but he was selling moonshine, illegal moon. Was it popcorn? No. Popcorn Sutton? I don't even know. Anyway, and several people that have died. So it is a famous case regarding moonshine, and I guess that might be why they could relate that to raw milk. Probably used a car radiator. You're exactly right. That's what it was. It must have used a car radiator with the still. That's my understanding. But anyway, several people died, and they go, oh, well, this is why we try to have to regulate this, and why we have to, you know, stop this from happening. So I still would like the number of how many people died from that versus hospital mistakes, cutting off the wrong arm during surgery, the wrong leg, or, you know, anyway. Hey, I got a question. I have a dozen laying ladies that often free range. That's great. I also have just started raising some honeybees. Are there any compatibility issues with the two? No, not whatsoever, Indian Lake Half Acre. Love the name, by the way. We actually have had done shows in the past with beekeepers. We call them beekoops. Or let me rephrase that. I call them beekoops. And no, they get along great. There's no problems. In fact, I've heard stories where a lot of times there will be a collection of actually dead bees just outside of the door to the beehive for whatever reason, and the chickens will come along and gobble those up. So I haven't heard of any issues of them trying to gobble up the live flying bees or reducing the flock size because they're eating bees or anything like that. But I have heard of stories from co-host Pat Foreman about that. We've talked to her about raising bees, and she has someone, I think, keeps bees on her property, and she's watched her chickens react with them and interact with them. We've also had professional beekeepers on the show and have done shows on bees. But no, there's not going to be any issue with you keeping bees there at your property with your chickens. They will cohabitate very, no problems at all. Friendly, and but look for that, and we'd love to hear back from you if it's a case where you see that too. If there ends up being a collection of dead bees around the door of the bee coop for whatever reason, yeah, I call them bee coops, and the chickens will walk by on a regular basis and gobble those bees up. So no worries at all regarding that. Just remember, if you're using diatomaceous earth, okay. That kills insects, because a lot of people, oh, diatomaceous earth is great to kill, you know, mites or lice for my chickens. I put it in their feed, I sprinkle, I dust them with it. I use it in my garden to keep the bad insects down, but diatomaceous earth will also keep the good insects down. Also, it's not very, let's just say, good for bees either. So something to look about if you're doing diatomaceous earth, wanting to do better regarding pest control all naturally, that
it's going to have a probably an adverse reaction, an effect for your bees as well. So just be aware of that. I remember that from some of the shows. And Indian Lake Half Acre, you might be able to go back to the archive shows that we've had and listen to some of the great shows we've had on bees and beekeeping in the past. You can do that probably the easiest at blogtalkradio.com. Just go to our radio show page, and then you can scroll down 800 episodes. Good luck with that. And find shows that we've done on bees and on beekeeping. And we're probably due for another show regarding keeping bees and beekeeping. We try to, you know, do this quite often and rotate the shows. But there might be something that where we can do another show on beekeeping. We probably need to have Penny back on talking about prepping. We got to have her back on as well. I would have had her on. I'm sure she would have been happy to come on today, but it was just a misschedule issue with the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy. I just noticed that Andreas is in the chat room, and he tunes in on a pretty regular basis from Norway. Yep, all the way from across the pond. So thank you very much, Andreas, for tuning in. I hope your chickens are doing well. Hope you're doing well. Hope you're breeding. Program over there is being successful. So we thank you for listening all the way over in Norway. Bob apparently is up in Maine or up in the New England area along with Bard Rock. Long time listener, Bard Rock. We love you and we thank you for tuning in. East Dallas Dave, probably as I scroll down the chat room, probably been listening more than and longer than anybody of our regular fans. So thank you very much. I've had the opportunity to meet him and his wife and his lovely family when we were on tour out in Texas and we were with Purina. And that was a really, really fun tour. And I love it when he can tune in as well. So we've given them about 45 minutes to call in. I guess it just never panned out with the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy today. And I apologize about that. That may have, but the last I heard from Jeanette was last Tuesday, and that she said that she knew she was going to be in Chicago dealing with some draft horse clubs, but she would have somebody call in and she would get the topic to me. But I guess she just got so busy with her travel plans that she just didn't follow through. So I hope everything's okay over there at the ALBC. I will tell you, however, that we do know that tomorrow is another great episode of Garden Wise Living with Arlena. Gotta love that. She'll be telling us, I'm sure, what wine she's partaking in tomorrow. And we'll have a great topic all about gardening year-round, no matter where you live. And then this Thursday, very excited, we've got, again, poultry scientist and professor, Dr. Bridget McCray. And if you'll give me a second, I'll tell you what the topic is going to be on Thursday. Oh, this is going to be great. You're going to want to tune in. I really have to promote the show. Raising turkeys and geese for the holidays. That's coming up this Thursday, the 16th, with Dr. Bridget McCray. Raising turkeys and geese for the holidays. Perfect, perfect timing for that. And that's going to be this coming Thursday. You're not going to want to miss that show. I'm definitely going to have to be promoting that hot and heavy over on our Facebook page. Let me see what I got here. Just check my email real quick. Nope, nothing from the ALBC, so no worries. We'll just make sure we put down on the calendar to come in, tune in next month. Okay, Mr. Harry's found something about Jake Leg Syndrome, but not much of death of a moonshine. In 1922, report by the National Committee for the Prevention of Blindness documented that during the first half of that year, wood alcohol caused 130 deaths and 22 cases of blindness. Interesting. And thank you for that. Okay. I just remember that story growing up and about, you know, doing, you know, making moonshine or, and hey, you can still get it. There's still people around here and around the North Georgia parts that make the moonshine, and y'all know the history of that. That's how NASCAR racing came about, was from running moonshine. And of course, NASCAR started on the beaches of Daytona Beach there, racing up and down the beach. And do some research there. It's very interesting. Wood alcohol is poisonous, but it is not moonshine. Okay. Thank you very much for that, Poet's Wife. I didn't know anything about that. I don't know much about moonshine at all. I've been offered some down here in these southern parts, but I wouldn't know where to get it or where to buy it. And I'm not a drinking man myself. Don't partake in drinking. Nothing against it. My dad made wine. Heck, I've put bottles. I can remember when I was 5 and 6 years old, helping bottle wine that my daddy made in the house. And I remember actually gluing and sticking the labels on the wine bottles once they were bottled. So no problems. I have no problems with that. Just drink responsibly. Isn't that what we're supposed to say? Along with everything else that you happen to do or not do. So, but me and Jen, we just don't. It's an activity that we don't partake in. So no, had nothing to do with religion or personal beliefs or anything like that. I have yet really to taste an alcohol that I enjoy. Gin's kind of the same way. We gag when it comes to champagne. Believe me, growing up with parents that made wine and belonged to wine clubs, I've had tasted and sipped my share of wines and never really tickled my fancy whatsoever. Now, I will tell you this. I guess they're called wussy drinks, maybe. Is it a wussy drink, like a pina colada? When we would go on cruises or go to the beach, a pina colada, nice coconut frozen drink. But that's a wussy drink, right? Because you can't taste the alcohol in them. Maybe rum or whatever they put in them. Maybe there's a little bit of aftertaste of the alcohol or the rum. But I think those are still not talking about, drinking Jim Beam straight or Jack and Coke or something like that. But, I would partake in the occasional wimpy frozen concoction when we were on a cruise. But I found out that it wasn't the alcohol that I liked. It was the nice frozen cold coconut flavored. So I just started ordering them virgin. And they were cheaper. I'd like a virgin pina colada, please. Okay, so cool. So it was like half the price, and it still tasted the same to me. And no, beer? No. Gag. So no thanks. If I ever did partake in a beer with the buddies, whether it be in college or just out of college or going to a party and just wanted to be kind of social, out of all the beers that I, again, maybe took a sip of and then poured out, was Rolling Rock was about the one that I could tolerate most. So if I had to partake in a beer on occasion, very, very seldom, if the restaurant had it, then I would order a Rolling Rock, or if somebody had Rolling Rock at their party. But other than that, if it was anything other than that, wouldn't touch it. So no problems. So, Rolling Rock is from Pennsylvania. Had no clue. Like I said, I'm not a connoisseur of anything alcoholic beverage, so no worries there. Don't have to worry about me coming on the show hammered and going crazy. So no worries about that. So, I got to share with y'all, if you're not in the chat room, East Dallas Dave says, Andy likes Yankee beer. Andy likes Yankee beer. Oh, man, that's the first good laugh I've had all day. That's awesome. Okay, I don't know if I would use I don't know if I'd use the term likes, maybe tolerates. And, man, I haven't had a beer up to my lips in years, but back in the day, like I said, if I had to order one or had to partake in one, it was a Rolling Rock. Is that a wimpy beer? Is that like, I don't know. So it's one of those things. And to think I had a little beer collection when I was little. How about that? Y'all remember that? Thinking of old times. Flea markets and things. Let me tell you what my beer can collection consisted of. It consisted of about elementary school age, probably about 25 cans, and I probably only did it because a buddy down the street of mine had one, and I was jealous of his beer can collection. But, you go to the flea markets, and they'd be, you could buy old open or sealed. I had like Andy's beer. I probably ended up in the trash when we moved or when I got to college or something. But yeah, I had like a Billy beer. Remember that? President Jimmy Carter, his brother, down here in Plains, Georgia. Your parents let you have beer cans? Remember, my parents made wine since the time probably before I was born. I remember actually putting labels on wine bottles as they bottled the wine up that they made. I also remember my dad had a dark room, and he developed his own film So I remember that. In fact, the dark room and the room that the wine would ferment in would be the same room down in the basement. And so all that dark room equipment and all those chemicals and going in and flipping the pictures back and forth in different chemicals to develop them. So yes, my dad had a dark room. He was into developing his own film. He was an architect. And then, of course, he would make his own wine. Never made beer, but he did make his own wine. So, yes, I did have a beer can collection. And I remember that Billy Beer, the president's son, had that rot gut, I guess they called it, Billy Beer. So I had a Billy Beer can. I had an Andy's beer. I had some Rolling Rock and things like that, different size beer cans. And I probably had about 25, and that was it. Hey, you know what else I remember doing? When we would go over to the mall, I guess we were probably somewhere between 10, 12 years old, 13 years old. And a group of us would kind of just cruise the mall. In fact, I remember going to JCPenney's because they actually had, when Atari came out, remember that? Atari 2600? Remember that? They had one set up that you could play, and we would go to JCPenney's. And they would have the TV there with the Atari all set up, and they would have normally it was Asteroids that was on, and we would sit there and play Asteroids because we didn't have an Atari. That was when they first came out. And cruising the mall when we were 10 or 12, 13 years old, maybe earlier than that, because I think I got Atari 2600 when I was 8 years old. When I was eight, Atari 2600 with Asteroids and whatnot. But Jay, my point was there was a tobacco shop in the mall, and I don't know why this was cool or why we thought it was cool, but they would give away the cigar boxes. So not only did I have a little beer can collection that consisted literally of about 25 beer cans that sat on a shelf in my room, but we would go by that. I think it was called the Tinder Box, and it was in the mall. And we'd stop by there, and they would have a stack there of whatever for free. You take them; they just had to throw them away. Cigar boxes. So I had a little cigar box collection of nice wooden back in the day. Cigar boxes, so that was interesting, stamped with whatever, wherever they were from, so had a little collection of cigar boxes. In fact, I remember keeping a bunch of pens and pencils in a cigar box, so in my backpack. Could you get away with that today? I was thinking the other day, could you get away with that today in today's school system? I kept pens and pencils and some erasers and a pencil sharpener and some scissors and things. I kept that, I remember now, in a cigar box that I probably picked up there at the mall, and I kept that in my backpack. So here I am opening up my backpack, elementary school, pulling out a cigar box, opening it up, and having whatever my art supplies in it. You think? Yep, protractor with a point on it. Yep. Do they not have those anymore? Are they not allowed? Is that considered a weapon now, poet's wife? Probably is. Protractor, and then the compass. Remember that little half circle thing, compass? I kept all that stuff in a cigar box in my backpack in elementary school. Now this is going to go back. I remember. I want to know how many people in the chat room remember this. Please sound off. How many people remember this, especially the dudes in the chat room? Did you ever subscribe, or I guess did your mom subscribe, your dad subscribe you to Boys Life magazine? Remember that? Boys Life. I got Boys Life magazine. I think it was something that I subscribed to when I was a Cub Scout or a Boy Scout. Anyway, Boys Life magazine. Do you remember those? Anybody grow up getting that as a kid? Remember in the back all the things that you could order? Well, I think I pitched a fit until my mom and dad finally just gave in. Boys Life magazine's still around. How about that? Remember all those things in the back that you could order? They had like X-ray vision glasses, and they had all these things that you could buy. Well, they had a switchblade comb. Okay, who remembers those? Huh? It was truly made out of metal, a switchblade comb. And I thought that was the coolest thing in the world when I was 8, 9, 10 years old. Third grade, however you're older in third grade, okay? Remember those? Switchblade comb? Okay. I don't know if I asked one for my birthday or I just pestered my parents, but I finally got one out of Boys Life magazine. And it was a happy day when that thing came in the mailbox. I would run out to the mailbox every day looking for that thing. And it finally came. It looked like a switchblade knife. And back then it was metal. And it had a metal comb inside. When you flipped that button, that comb would flip out. Instead of the blade, it was a comb. Okay? I took it to school. I carried it to school. Third grade. Okay? Let's see. That would probably have been... late 70s. 1976. How old are you in third grade? 10? So that would have been probably 1979, 1978, somewhere between 1976 and 1980, we'll say. And, switchblade comb. And I remember it wasn't a big deal. Oh, Andy got a switchblade comb from Boys Life magazine. I remember pulling that thing out, flip, combing my hair, folding it back up, putting it in my pocket. Can you imagine what would happen today? X-ray goggles, yep, you could see people sew clothes, whoopee cushions, super bouncy balls, gum that turn your mouth black, sneezing powder, yeah, all those cool things. Can you imagine what would happen today if a kid took that switchblade comb to school? All hell would break loose. Actually, during the sermon this past Sunday, our preacher was talking about... apparently two boys very recently got suspended or expelled from school, elementary age, because they put their pencils, I remember doing this, held their pencils in their hand kind of like a gun, and were going pew, 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 playing cops and robbers, cowboys and Indians, good guy, bad guy, whatever. And so that was very recently, two little boys were caught in the classroom. Teacher saw it, sent them to the principal, and they got either suspended or expelled 10 days forever. I don't remember. Are you kidding me? So I can't believe it. And you're thinking back. I remember going to school, and this is kidding. No kidding. No one ever said a thing, and had two shotguns in the back window of the pickup truck. It may have been dove season or duck season or something. I don't remember. But this was back in the 80s. So this was probably around somewhere between 85 and 88. Okay? Still seems like a long time ago. But I remember having two shotguns in the back of the pickup truck window, coming on school property, hanging out with friends. Nothing was said. Nothing was said. Not one thing. But, holy cow, don't even think about doing that today. One bit. What are else some things that you used to take to school that you couldn't take to school nowadays? I remember carrying a pocket knife to school. Good heavens to Betsy today, that's a no-no. Did we ever find out that if the protractors are illegal now in school with the pen on it? Can you still use those in school? Can you still carry those? Have they come up with something different? Are they plastic now versus steel? That was mentioned in the chat room, and I just don't remember. I don't remember that ad. 98-pound weakling, in just 7 days, I can make you a man. I don't remember that ad. Decoder rings. I don't remember the decoder rings. That might have been before my time, too. I remember the sea monkeys. Yep, I remember that. Whoopee cushions, yep. And East Dallas said he ordered a submarine that was all cardboard. I bet that worked real well underwater. A cardboard submarine. I bet it didn't last too long when you put it in the bathtub under the water. So, anyway, I'm going to let y'all go. Thanks for hanging around and having a good time today, reminiscing about things that we used to could do or couldn't do in school. And we've been all over the place and not aware. I know you came to listen to the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy, and I did too. But rubber band airplanes, those were cool. They were made out of balsa wood. You remember those? It was a balsa wood airplane, And it would come in a sheet. You would snap out the wings. You'd snap out the body. Okay? Normally the wings of the body had a hole in it, and you'd slide the wing through the body. And then it had a plastic propeller on a little hook screw at the end. And you could run that rubber band down it. You'd wind up the propeller with your index finger until that rubber band had about 900 knots in it. And then you'd let it go. And 9 times out of 10, it would go about 4 feet and then nosedive into the ground. I remember those. The balsa wood airplanes with the rubber band powered propeller. Yeah, those were cool. And East South Save, they're still available. That's pretty cool. But, yeah, and you remember, like, oh, man, this thing's going to go so far, and you would tighten that propeller, and you would tighten it and tighten it and tighten it and tighten it, and you'd have 4,000 knots underneath that airplane. And you're like, man, this thing's going to haul tail, go so fast, go so far, and you'd let go of the propeller and the plane at the same time. And it would go about 3 feet, and it would either veer off to the right and nosedive, or veer off to the left and nose drive, or just right smack in the center, about hit you in the toes, because it just go, and then that was it. And then when it landed, remember this? You tried to run to get it so you could save some of those knots if the knots didn't run all the way out. So you wouldn't have to wind it up the next time. Y'all remember doing that? You throw it, and maybe if it didn't quite unwind all the way before it hit the ground, when it hit the ground, the propeller. So you'd run up to it real quick, say, "Oh, okay, good." And you wouldn't have to wind it up all the way because it didn't unspin the whole time. So gotta love it, Misty. Thanks for joining us. Love you. Thanks for joining us. And yeah, we'll just go ahead and wrap up the show. No worries. Thanks for coming on. I was hoping the ALBC would be on too, but apparently it didn't pan out. But no worries. Listen up, folks. Tomorrow, Garden Wise Living with Arlena. Bring your wine. I guarantee you, she's going to have wine. She'll let us know what wine she's drinking. And we'll have a great topic tomorrow, I guarantee you. Also, on Thursday, we're going to be talking all about raising turkeys and geese for the holidays with poultry scientist and professor Dr. McCray. And then a no-show this Friday, we'll be on the road. But great programming all week this week. So thanks for tuning in. Hope you have a wonderful and blessed day. I love you all. Yep, even you, Poet's Wife, you are my friend. So very good. Poet's Wife says, hey, you're having dinner with Dave Ramsey tonight. That's cool. Is it going to be like this big mass program where 900 other people are having dinner with Dave Ramsey tonight? Or is it going to be more of a, oh, me and Dave and his wife are going to have a party of four at the restaurant? There's a difference. So is it going to be you and Dave and his wife, party of four? Or is it going to be 900 people wanting to buy his books that he's going to sell to you? So, hey, inquiring minds want to know, you know, is there going to be 900 people there that he's trying to sell his books to? Or is it going to be a nice, quaint party of four? Nonetheless, I like Dave Ramsey. I like what he does. Okay, somewhere in between, not a problem. And I like Dave. I like what he does. Occasionally, we'll listen to his show and what he recommends. And I'd say that I haven't bought any of his books. I haven't practiced any of his things other than just listening to the show and kind of agreeing with him. Debt is not good. Me and Jen don't own a single credit card. Yep, you heard that right. We do not own or possess a single credit card, Jen or I, neither one of us. Now, it is something we have considered doing because have you ever tried to rent a car without a credit card? I've flown all over the country using the debit cards, but you know, that's fine. But renting a car, I found in all my travels that I found one rent-a-car company that will let you rent a car with a debit card. However, you have to show your plane ticket that you just flew in and your return plane ticket. And I don't know why that makes a hill of beans difference. If I was just going down here to rent a car just for the weekend or something, you'd be hard-pressed to do it without a credit card. But if I found a company and their policy was if you were flying into town, renting a car, and then flying back out of town or taking Amtrak in and taking Amtrak, if I could show them my travel itinerary where I flew in, I rode the train in, and I had my ticket, round trip ticket, where I'm coming back and going home, then they would actually do that. So we're looking to maybe getting a credit card, and if we do, it'll probably be one of those secured cards where you give the bank $2,000, they hold it, they give you a credit card for $2,000, and then there you go. It's just like a credit card. So we've considered doing that if we're in the middle of nowhere and the Kia needs a new transmission, or it breaks down, we need to rent a vehicle to tow the camper for the rest of the tour or something like that, having a credit card for that strictly emergencies. So but it was interesting on that. But he basically suggests that you don't buy what you don't have money to pay for, save for what you need, give to charities you admire, and do good work. Get educated and provide for your family. He approves of adoption, though it costs money to do so because kids are worth it. I bet you didn't know this, poet's wife, but I was adopted. So, I was. And it was, I don't know many details about it. I know that I was just a few days old. So it might have been one of those pre-planned things where they knew that my birth mom was having a baby and they worked the adoption out. And as soon as I was born, I was adopted, you know, within a day or two of being born. So I was adopted. So I have a great admiration for people who adopt. Me and Jen considered, and we may still consider adoption. We said that, we had Caleb. We said, we'll hope for a girl to have that, whatever you want to call a perfect family. We said if we have another boy, we may then adopt a girl. But now we have a boy and a girl, so I'm not sure if, you know, we may still consider doing the adoption. And we're not opposed to adopting an older child who is in the system of the state. So, I was adopted, so I have a good respect for all of that. So now you know, you learned something new about the Chicken Whisperer today, that I too was adopted. I haven't really had any inkling to go and find my birth mom or my dad, biological dad. I've had such a great and wonderful life, very blessed, that I guess I haven't had that inquiry. Every now and then, maybe to find out if there's any health issues with my biological family, that may be the only one to know if, you know, is there a history of cancer, is there a history of heart disease, is there a history of this, that, or the other that I could be aware of. But so far at 43, it hasn't been an issue. But every now and then, regarding health history, it might be kind of interesting to know that about my birth parents, or just wondering, because, you know, hey, I'm 43, and so mom would probably be, you know, you figure 63 or 60 or 59 or maybe a little older. You just never know. Would she like to know who I am now, what I am now? You just kind of wonder, is it rude of me not to go and try to find them? Do they think that I don't care that they gave me up for adoption? So every now and then those things, if that's something I should do, try to find, or if, you know, I'm pretty sure I'm easy enough to find with Facebook and Twitter and the tour and the book and things like that that are out there. There's no hiding if you're the Chicken Whisperer, that's for sure. Anybody can find me. Hell, you could probably just drive up in my driveway this afternoon if you wanted to say hello, or cuss me out for that matter. So I don't know. Every now and then I think about it, but I've never really pursued that to do that. So just one of the things that we think about. So folks, y'all have a wonderful and blessed day, and we'll see you tomorrow back here at 12 noon. Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Love y'all. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye.